Hello and welcome to ArXiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArXiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're digging into a paper called PR Bench, Large-Scale Expert Rubrics for Evaluating High-Stakes Professional Reasoning. Why talk about this now? Because LLMs are creeping into places where mistakes really matter. Legal opinions, medical summaries, financial compliance, and our usual ways of judging models don't capture whether the reasoning is professional grade. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. The value question for today: concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams are already asking models to draft contract clauses, summarize radiology notes, and scan transactions for compliance red flags. The failure modes are classic. The model sounds confident but cites the wrong precedent. It catches the obvious risks but misses edge cases. It applies policy inconsistently, or it gives a plausible summary that omits a critical clinical detail. Today's evaluation is usually a mix of one-off spot checks, pass-fail checklists, or crowd worker labels. None of that reflects how a lawyer or a clinician actually reviews work. What we need is a consistent expert rubric that breaks quality into dimensions we care about, like adequacy of legal reasoning, risk identification, justification and references, jurisdictional compliance, or in medicine, factual fidelity, omission risk, and actionability. That makes reviews faster, focuses feedback, and lets us measure whether a model update really reduces critical errors instead of just improving surface fluency.
So basically, we're missing a standard, expert-agreed scorecard that goes beyond, did it look good? Teams want clear dimensions that mirror how professionals review real work, so they can cut review time and catch the high-impact misses. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Two big reasons. First, models are finally good enough that evaluation is the bottleneck. Getting from sound smart to safe to use requires evidence about reasoning quality, not just accuracy on trivia. Second, pure automation with an LLM as judge is noisy and biased. Structuring evaluations with expert-built rubrics gives us stable criteria and lets us calibrate any automated judging against real professional standards. Prior benchmarks mostly target short answers, single labels, or crowd judgments. High-stakes work is multi-criteria: correctness, justification, adherence to policy, and risk awareness. Enterprises are also pushing for governance and audit trails. Rubrics translate into metrics that can plug into CI for models, regression tests, and risk dashboards, making evaluations repeatable and defensible. At its core, PR Bench is two things: a set of expert-authored rubrics for professional reasoning, and the accompanying datasets and protocols to apply those rubrics at scale. Concretely, the rubric breaks an answer into dimensions like correctness of reasoning, reference to policy or precedent, completeness, omission risk, risk assessment, and clarity of justification. Each dimension has a scale, say 0 to 3, with concrete anchors and examples, plus guidance on common failure patterns. The authors source ratings from actual domain experts, not crowd workers, and they collect multiple independent judgments per item to measure agreement. In an evaluation pipeline, PR Bench sits after model inference. You generate answers on a curated task set, then either route those outputs to trained experts using the rubric, or use an LLM as judge that's explicitly conditioned on the rubric and then calibrated against a subset of expert labels. Compared to prior work, this moves away from single-label accuracy and toward multi-criteria professional standards, with documentation and quality controls so results are auditable and repeatable. Intended uses include model selection, regression testing in CI/CD, red teaming to surface failure modes by dimension, and even feeding the signals into training or reward modeling.
So basically, instead of just asking, did the model get it right, PR Bench gives you a pro-grade scorecard made by experts that checks how it reasoned, what it missed, and whether it followed the rules. You run your model, then score its outputs on those clear criteria, and you can even automate part of that with an LLM judge you've calibrated against human experts. Mark, bring this down to earth. What changes in day-to-day work if a team uses this?
Simple case first. a mid-size legal team that uses an LLM to draft contract clauses. Today, reviews are vibes and red lines. With a PR bench-style rubric, they create a 50-scenario test set, NDA, data processing, indemnity, governing law, and define five dimensions: legal adequacy, risk spotting, citation to precedent or policy, jurisdictional compliance, and clarity. Once a week, the model drafts all clauses. Two junior lawyers spend an hour scoring with the rubric. The rubric text lives in the review tool with examples, so scoring is fast and consistent. The team gets a dashboard that shows a composite score and dimension breakdown. If jurisdictional compliance drops after a prompt tweak, they catch it before it reaches a client. Over a couple sprints, you see fewer surprises in partner review, because the model is being trained, or at least steered, toward what actually matters to the firm.
Put differently, you turn red lines into measurable signals. Reviews get shorter, and regressions show up as a clear dip on, say, risk spotting, rather than someone noticing it by chance. That's the quick win. What about a heavier duty setup, Mark? Something closer to compliance or healthcare?
Advanced case, a hospital QA workflow for discharge summaries. The model drafts summaries from clinician notes. The rubric has dimensions like factual fidelity to the chart, omission risk for critical info, med changes follow-ups, guideline adherence, and patient-facing clarity. Nightly, a fixed test set runs through the model. An LLM judge pre-screens with the rubric to flag likely misses. Then a rotating clinician panel reviews a sampled subset each week for ground truth and calibration. The scores feed into CI. A model update can't ship if omission risk falls below a threshold, even if fluency improved. Every decision is logged with rubric scores and rationales, which satisfies internal QA and auditors. Over time, they also attach exemplar failures to the rubric, so training and prompt updates target the right gaps.
So you get a gate in the pipeline that says no go unless the safety critical dimensions are green, plus an audit trail that speaks QA language, not just blue scores. Jamie, tie this back to the mechanics in the paper. How do the rubrics and expert agreement make this scalable and trustworthy?
Three mechanics matter. First, rubric granularity. Dimensions are defined with concrete anchors and examples, which reduces ambiguity and improves inter-expert agreement that gives you stable signals per dimension. Second, agreement and calibration. By collecting multiple expert ratings, you can estimate reliability and use that to calibrate an LLM judge, e.g., trusted on high agreement dimensions, route low agreement items to humans. Third, scaling. You don't need to score everything manually. Use stratified sampling plus active selection. Focus experts on edge cases or on dimensions where the model is weakest. Version the rubric alongside the model so you can compare apples to apples across releases and compute both composite and per dimension thresholds, especially for safety critical checks like omission risk, so your CI gate reflects real world priorities. The paper's contribution is giving you those rubric structures, sourcing protocols, and evaluation recipes so teams can adopt this without inventing it from scratch. Under the hood, there are a few hard requirements. You need access to real experts and a way to standardize their time. Rubrics only work if people who live the job can agree on what good looks like. The rubric design itself is a product. You define dimensions, anchors, and examples, then iterate to reduce ambiguity. Annotation isn't free. Each item takes meaningful attention, and quality control means double-blind ratings plus adjudication on disagreements. Inter-expert agreement will vary by dimension. Factual fidelity is usually easier than, say, risk assessment, so you need to measure reliability and route low agreement cases to humans. The authors also call out evaluation drift. If your policies or regulations change, the rubric must be versioned, or you'll compare apples to oranges. Finally, any LLM as judge usage has bias risks. You must calibrate it against expert labels and monitor for Goodhart's Law, models optimizing for the rubric rather than true quality. Future work they point to includes partially automating rubric application, active learning to reduce expert cost by prioritizing the most informative items, expanding domain coverage, and better tooling for rubric versioning and governance.
Put simply, you'll need real experts on the calendar, a clear scorecard you iterate on, and the patience to measure how often experts agree. Automation can help, but only if you calibrate it and watch for gaming the metric. Policies change, so your rubric needs version numbers like software. Mark, what does setup look like inside an org when you actually try to do this?
What usually works is a 2-week pilot. Step 1. Identify 2-3 domain owners who can write the first draft of the rubric with concrete examples from your own documents. Step 2. Run a 20-30 item dry run with 3 reviewers to test the anchors, track disagreements, and tune instructions. Step 3. Build a lightweight review lane, could be your existing ticketing tool or a simple web form, that shows the model output, the rubric, and examples side by side. Step 4. Add governance. Who can change the rubric, who sets thresholds, and what counts as a ship-no-ship signal. Step 5. Integrate into your model CI so a nightly job runs the test set and posts a dashboard. The friction points are reviewer training time, getting scheduling predictability for experts, and remembering to update the rubric when policy changes. If no one owns that, it decays fast.
On results, the paper reports 3 broad signals. First, expert-authored rubrics yield more reliable, actionable scores than crowd-based labels or single-label correctness, especially on nuanced dimensions like justification and risk awareness. Second, an LLM as judge that's explicitly conditioned on the rubric shows stronger correlation with expert scores than generic automatic metrics. It's useful for pre-screening and scaling, as long as you calibrate and periodically recheck. Third, per-dimension scoring surfaces failure modes that composite metrics hide, making regressions detectable early. The experiments are run in controlled settings with curated tasks and trained experts, and they analyze inter-expert agreement to show which dimensions are sturdy versus subjective. They also compare against baseline automated metrics to show those miss critical professional errors. Costs and latency are discussed at a high level. The gist is expert time dominates, so sampling and calibration strategies matter.
Translated, you get clearer, more trustworthy scores that map to how professionals think, and a way to spot the sneaky regressions before they hit production. The automation helps you scale the review without losing the human standard. Mark, if I'm a lead on a team, what should I plan for in week 1 to avoid surprises?
Plan for fewer items than you think and tighter scope. Pick one workflow, 30 representative prompts, and 4 to 5 rubric dimensions that match real risks. Book a 2-hour calibration session with your reviewers to read the rubric aloud, rate the same 5 items, and reconcile differences. This pays for itself. Decide a single hard gate, like omission risk must be above threshold, so you don't ship something unsafe just because the composite score looks okay. Expect the first weekly run to be messy. By the second or third run, the anchors stabilize and review time drops. In production, it won't be as clean as the paper. Documents are noisier and edge cases show up, but the dash still catches regressions you'd otherwise miss.
Quick follow-up on cost, Jamie. For teams worried about the time and compute overhead, how do you keep this from ballooning?
3 levers. Sampling. Don't score everything. Stratify by risk and novelty, and increase the sample when you change prompts or models. Calibration. Use the LLM judge only after you've calibrated it on a subset of expert labels. Cache those calibrations and recheck periodically. Efficiency. Batch evaluations offline, keep prompts concise, and reuse context across items where possible. Also, separate dimensions. Let the judge filter likely clean items on high agreement dimensions and send ambiguous or safety critical ones to humans. Finally, log everything. Scores, rationales, rubric version, so you don't have to recompute when auditors ask questions.
So evaluate smarter, not harder. Sample by risk. Let the automated judge handle the easy stuff you trust and save expert hours for the gray areas. Mark, last practical gotcha you've seen, and who should own this day to day?
Biggest gotcha is overfitting to the rubric. People tune prompts to bump the score without actually fixing the underlying mistake. You avoid that by rotating fresh items into the test set and regularly attaching real failure examples to the rubric. Also, train reviewers. Untrained experts still score inconsistently. Ownership-wise, I'd place it with a product-minded lead in risk or quality who can translate between legal, clinical, and ML with a named maintainer for the rubric. Put changes through lightweight change control, changelog, version, rollout date, so your trend lines stay meaningful.
Bottom line. This paper gives teams a practical, expert-built way to measure professional reasoning across multiple dimensions, and to plug those signals into real deployment gates instead of hoping for the best. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for Arxiv LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day. Put simply, you need professionals to define good, train everyone to use the same yardstick, and expect to spend time maintaining it. And if the data is sensitive, run the whole thing where the data lives. Mark, from an org/setup side, what does that mean for teams?
Practically, you plan a small program, recruit 2 to 3 domain experts as rubric owners, block time for a calibration workshop, and write a short playbook with examples of Zoo 1-2 for each criterion. Stand up an eval harness. Most teams wire it into CI with a nightly job and decide which criteria are hard gates. Train reviewers on how to read LLM judge rationales and when to escalate. Governance-wise, create a change log and a quarterly review so the rubric tracks new regs. Budget for expert time and for secure infra if you're on-prem. Start with a pilot domain, get agreement on thresholds, then expand.
Let's talk results. Jamie, according to the paper, how did PR Bench perform and what did they measure?
They report rubric-level scores across multiple professional domains with both human raters and LLM-assisted scoring. Metrics include per-criterion accuracy, overall rubric composites, and inter-rater agreement for human evaluators. They compare against standard benchmarks and show that models that look similar on generic tests separate more clearly under professional rubrics, especially on items like citation fidelity and risk disclosures. They also note that automated scoring correlates with human scores under controlled prompts and calibration, but they keep humans in the loop for critical criteria. Importantly, some areas remain weak across models. Consistent handling of uncertainty and policy adherence are recurring pain points. Most experiments are controlled, curated tasks, standardized prompts, and constrained contexts.
Translated, it's better at catching the mistakes that matter, bad citations, missing risk notes, and it helps you pick between models that otherwise look tied. Just remember, those gains are in controlled settings with careful scoring and clear contexts. Mark, what should listeners expect once this hits production?
Expect a dip versus paper results at first. Real data is messy, prompts drift, and people change the retrieval settings. You'll need a few weeks of calibration to set thresholds that balance safety and throughput. Over time, you'll see fewer critical errors and a cleaner audit trail, but it depends on discipline. Version the rubric, monitor drift, and retrain staff quarterly. Also, plan for exceptions. When the rubric flags a case, the human path must be fast or users will try to bypass the gate.
Great, let's close it out. Mark, who benefits most from this and under what conditions?
Enterprises in regulated domains, healthcare, finance, gov, legal, get the biggest win because they need auditable criteria and clear gates. Teams that can afford a light onboarding budget for experts and a steady cadence of reviews will see the reliability gain. Research groups also benefit when they need to validate nuanced claims or compare frontier models beyond generic benchmarks.
One sentence takeaway. PR Bench turns model evaluation from trivia into reproducible, expert checklists you can wire into selection, training, and monitoring so high-stakes LLMs behave like professionals, not guessers. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArxivLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.